This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome. This is the morning run. First, we recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
US markets were not very good. I think they were the lowest performing since March 2020. The Dow was down 1.6%, S&P 500 down 1.2%, and Nasdaq down 0.4%. Asia also followed queue. Nikkei was down 0.3%, Hang Seng down 0.4%, Shanghai up 0.9%, STI up 0.4%, but back home, FBM KLCI was down 0.6%.
And before we talk to Carlos Casanova in terms of where global markets are heading, I just want to have a quick recap in terms of how bad September really was. And if we look at it on just a monthly basis, the US Dow Jones was down 4.29%, S&P 500 down 4.76%, while Nasdaq was down 5.31%. It's the worst September since 2020.
A total rout.
Yeah. There are many things that lead to this decline in market, but to find out, we're going to speak to Carlos Casanova, senior economist at UBP. Good morning, Carlos. Like we said, global markets terrible, and I think a part of it is the commodity markets because there's a bit of an energy crisis. So where do you see prices of resource commodities like oil and natural gas going as a result?
Good morning. So the market has been roiled by a series of events. In this part of the world, a lot of that's linked to China's reform agenda. But again, there's a lot going on. So definitely a difficult month, if not quarter, for financial markets. On the energy front, that's what everyone is focusing on right now. You know, oil is up 100% year to date. Natural gas also. But the elephant in the room is really coal, with prices remaining extremely elevated. It's up more than 200% year to date, and that is has led effectively to a squeeze in electricity production in places like China, but also in Europe as we enter the winter period. So the market is definitely feeling a little bit jittery about the prospect of what that means for production in the coming months. But keep in mind that this is entirely a supply-driven imbalance in supply-demand. What we mean by that is that it is to some extent reflecting better demand, but most of the factors that are driving this increase in commodity prices for you know, both energy commodities but also other commodities or quasi commodities like semiconductors is supply chain disruptions around COVID-19 that might be difficult to reverse in the short term in some cases, plus very expensive transportation costs are compounding, of course, on top of that very high commodity price. So we do expect that this pressure will remain throughout Q4, potentially into Q1 22. And only then will we see some rebalancing in the supply-demand equilibrium, with more supply coming in on board, plus potentially somewhat more subdued demand as we enter slower growth phase in the US starting in Q4.
But Carlos, I'm just a little bit concerned about China's central government officials. I mean, they've ordered the country's top state-owned energy companies, from coal to electricity and oil, to secure supplies for this winter at all costs. Isn't this adding fuel to the fire and potentially raising prices even more, possibly leading to hyperinflation?
The authorities are focused now on making sure that the coal shortage doesn't adversely impact people's livelihoods. So we've seen media reports of power cuts in the north of China, resulting in you know, no elevators, and you know, people that have medical disabilities, or you know, pregnant women having to walk up 26 flights of stairs. This kind of media report. Mm-hmm. So they are now focusing on ensuring that the coal supply is used to ensure that power generation to households is somewhat stable. But remember, in China, China produces 90% of its coal. But one of the other factors that has been increasing the supply-demand imbalance is the fact that they have gone ahead with some environmental target limits on coal production. There's also a mandated legal limit for each province for security reasons. And they introduced a law earlier this year in March to try to enforce those limits a bit more aggressively. There's a anti-corruption in the coal space initiative now going on in Inner Mongolia. So it is possible that they could just loosen up the tightening grip on the regulation front, allow some of these provinces to produce more coal in the short run, even if it's over that limit that they're trying to enforce. And also, of course, deregulate the downstream prices of electricity. So the problem, one of the reasons why we're having power shortages is we have high coal prices, high input prices, but electricity prices in China are regulated. So you have these power generators that are operating at a loss. Many of them have therefore chosen to close for maintenance, resulting in power shortages. Mm-hmm. They could allow for some increases in electricity prices downstream. Of course, that will trickle down through into the consumer at some point, but CPI in China is 0.8%, so still not a concern. Even if it increases to around 2%, it would still be a manageable scenario. So it is possible that they will utilize those fixes in the short term. Well, the inflation will not translate into global inflation per se, but what is interesting is that in case we see disruptions to supply chains, and Apple and Tesla both announced that they were experiencing disruptions to the supply chain. If those goods don't make it to the US in time for the Christmas season, then of course that will fuel inflationary fears in the US, which could have repercussions more globally.
I mean, you talk about the 2x increase in coal, that 100% increase in oil, right? And about China basically slightly over-regulating the energy markets, essentially. So what does all these rising prices mean for small open economies like in ASEAN, like Malaysia?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So personally, it means two things. Malaysia has exposure to China through export channels. So if we have a disruption to production in China, Malaysia is part of the supply chain in some of these cases. The country will feel that. In fact, many of the Asian economies are quite exposed to China through supply chain links, through export channels. Moreover, if we see a disruption in demand because people are not able to leave their apartments during specific times of the day because they heard power outages, that is also not going to bode well on the export front. More interestingly, however, is in case the power shortages result in disruptions to supply chains, further disruptions to supply chains, the automotive and the electronic supply chain in particular, which have already been roiled by high semiconductor prices, that may lead to higher inflationary pressures in other parts of the world, like the USA, which of course could translate then into a much more hawkish Fed, resulting in a steeper increase in US treasuries going forward. And that, of course, always means outflows for Asia. So that would put pressure on economies such as Malaysia on the outflow front and also on the FX front. Good news for Malaysia is the currency is very correlated with oil prices, given just the economic structure of the Malaysian economy. So for Malaysia, that would help to offset some of the pressure on the higher USD front. But there are places such as Indonesia and also Thailand, where, given that foreigners own a large proportion of assets in those two places, that risk of outflows could really lead to more pressure for those two economies.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Carlos Casanova, senior economist of UBP, giving us his views on global markets. And in particular, actually, this morning we focused on China, energy and currencies. And he's saying that, hey, our ringgit should actually do better. We're in a better position compared to some of our neighbors like Indonesia. But this morning, if I look
doesn't
at the
ringgit, to reflect that.
Yeah, for the moment it doesn't, because the ringgit against the US dollar is 4.1862. I think that's a lot to do with actually US dollar strength, because if you compare the ringgit against the pound, it's 5.63. So actually we have strengthened against the sterling, and against the Sing dollar is 3.0824. Not too long ago, we were almost hitting 3.10. Yep. So I think there is a rush to US dollar assets, partially because tapering is happening. And it's a flight to quality at this current moment, because also bond yields in US have gone up, whether it's a 10-year or a 30-year.
Yeah. Yes. I think Carlos's point about the impact of energy prices to us is more supply chain driven as opposed to the fact that it will actually have an input to energy prices. I think his insights, particularly about how China has basically tried to overmanage and overregulate the price, has resulted in many of the operators just opting not to produce energy, which is even compounding the issue even further. I found that a fascinating cycle about liberalization, about how you need to deregulate sometimes these kind of core sectors especially.
But, you know, for China, a lot of it is messaging, right? It's a lot of the government actually sending out this tone that we are here for you and hence we will supply energy at all costs. And like Carlos reminds us, what the household pays is pretty much fixed, right? Because it's not a floating kind of pricing like what we're seeing in UK and Europe where household bills for electricity have gone up 200% and governments are trying to step in like Spain saying, okay, let's impose a windfall tax on these energy companies. It's not the situation in China, but they're just trying to reassure people, hey, you're not going to have any shortages come the winter months. But I think energy is something that we really have to focus on. It will have global implications. Good news for us because we are generally a net energy importer. But as a result, there will be inflation concerns.
Yes, I think you made
And it may not be transitory as a result.
It may not, exactly. I don't think it's transitory now at this stage. But you know, you make a very interesting point that everyone is actually having energy issues. If you look at the UK, they also have energy issues, although their issues are a bit different from China. They have a logistics issue about not having enough drivers to bring the energy to the pumps, essentially. But it's clearly going to be a big problem in the short term. And, you know, if you recall about a year back, we were talking about coal being under a lot of pressure as people move to greener and kind of environments. But that doesn't seem to reflect in the numbers at the moment.
Not at the moment. I think every energy class, whether it's coal, natural gas, WTI, Brent crude on a year-to-date basis, even palm oil, which is a form of energy, by the way, is up on quite significantly on a year-to-date basis, whether it is supply constraints, pushed also by demand. BFM 89.9.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.